Welcome back, everybody, to a glorious episode of Coffee and Christ.
Hello, everyone.
Jackson's there. I'm here.
Dylan's there.
What you guys been doing? We missed you.
It's been far too long.
It's been a while. And what I was going to say was I've had some people ask about us.
Really?
And that always makes my heart just, we're doing something. Mm. Somebody out there is listening. It may just be my wife.
Was she the one that asked?
Well, she did. But other people have as well. And that's really what funny. I was leading up to.
Okay.
Was our friend Paul,
uh-huh.
whom also has a podcast,
yeah.
a Christian-based podcast. He called me the other day and said that a group of people from Life Church are studying our podcast. Like, they're listening to it, and he talked to them about it the other day. And he was like, hey, I know those guys. But a group of people from the Life Church in Cookeville have been listening to our podcast. I have a blank stare.
I have no words. Really?
Yeah. I meant to tell you, and then I forgot, and I'm sorry.
That is so cool.
Yeah, he was like, yeah. He said, I was talking to, like, walked up into a conversation, and they were talking about podcasts, and they were like, you have a podcast, right? And he was like, yeah. And then they were like, we're listening to this one called Coffee and Christ, and we think it's, like, two local people. And he was like, Dylan and Jackson. I know them. So, yeah, listen to our podcast. So greetings.
How cool is this?
Greetings, everyone.
I'm starstruck right now.
So anyway,
that is so cool.
I know.
I wonder which one they're listening to. Please,
I hope not. Please don't do season one. Take season one down.
Please don't do season one.
That was bad. So if anybody's first time listeners, don't skip season one. Go to season two.
Immediately.
That's when we got our actual studio.
Yeah. We'll go to we'll revisit Matthew.
We really should.
We'll
honestly,
we
should
so
re-record Matthew.
Yeah, and we'll just, I don't know, we'll put a blurb up. Can you, I don't know how to do that. I know some podcasts, you can update, little sayings on all of their podcasts where it's, as soon as you come into it, it's like, hey, this is Jackson Dylan from the future. Don't listen to this.
We might try that. But anyway, it's not bad.
It's not bad. It's just...
We're young. Childish.
Dumb.
Broke. Still broke.
Nothing's changed there.
But anyway, I thought that was kind of cool.
That is really cool. Man, I would love to meet these people.
Me too.
And
me
I would
too.
Love to tell them, skip season one.
Skip on.
Just do us a favor. Skip season one. We'll redo Matthew one day.
We will.
It might be next. Who knows? We're almost done with this series.
This could be the season finale.
I was like, I think this is the season finale. We might have another episode.
Yeah.
Just because, you know, in case there's some loose ends we want to tie up, but I think this is it.
This is
so
the
we
final
need,
countdown.
We need another one. Ba-da-ba-ba. Can you imagine this being played in a classroom right now?
Sorry about that.
Can you imagine that right now?
This is not Pitch Perfect 3, you guys. This is Coffee and Christ.
What if they're like,
was that irresponsible of me? I just
no,
just
this
came out.
No. What if they just play this in class? It's Wednesday night and they're just like, we're going to listen to episode whatever of Coffee and Christ.
Anyway.
Oh my goodness.
Sorry about that.
That's crazy.
Well, now that everybody's awake.
Yep.
Tell us, Jackson, what's been going on in your life in the last month and a half.
I will say.
Because that's been a while.
I'll say my life is significantly less interesting compared to what you have
Not
done.
Not really. Because you've done a lot as well.
What?
Give us the cliff notes. Just give us the cliff notes.
Cliff notes is working on this house, working on it getting started, working on getting money saved up. I'm writing checks. I'm making money move. I'm moving back to that. I think every time I say that, I think I'm like, I don't know, William. What is it? Who is it? Is it William Buffett?
Warren Buffett.
Warren. Hopefully Warren doesn't listen. I'm sorry, Warren.
No,
but that's about it. It's nothing
is Warren
crazy.
Warren Buffett still alive?
Yeah.
Huh. Warren, if you're out there, buddy, sorry I thought you had passed away.
And sorry, sorry I didn't know your name. But that's really been it for me.
Rumor on the street is next week there might be some machinery on your property.
Maybe.
There's going to be a skid steer delivery.
Steer skitter.
Oh.
That's what mom calls it.
Oh, no.
Because she doesn't know it's skid steer. Yeah. But Dylan, you have far more to tell.
Not really.
Do tell.
Not really.
Not really.
I got married. There is now a Mrs. Wood out there.
She is.
And if you're listening, hey, girl.
She knows.
Hey, girl, love you.
She knows.
We got married. We went on our honeymoon. Went to the beach. Had a wedding. And it was, I mean, I don't really, the wedding to me is a blur. Was it fun? Like, was it a good wedding? You were there.
I was there as well.
But
I participated.
If you were present at the Wood wedding, I would like to issue a blanket apology for what you had to witness as far as my vows. That single-handedly could be the most embarrassing thing I've ever done in my whole life.
Guys, it was
I'm telling you. Did you cry?
It was from the heart.
Did you cry?
I didn't cry.
See, I wish... Why couldn't we have traded places?
I didn't cry, but like... That's... I mean, it was so sweet. Guys, don't let him tell you this.
It was embarrassing.
This man spoke from the heart about his vows, and he struggled getting through it.
It was ugly.
And if you didn't struggle getting through it, I would have thought there was something wrong with you, because...
And, oh, then you should look at my wife, who's a stone-cold killer. She read hers, I will love you forever and ever.
And ever.
And ever. And I was like... like, the whole time, it was... I honestly, when I see people that were there, I'm just like,
no,
I,
no,
I,
because no. if you didn't cry, I would have thought he really doesn't love her. He really doesn't. He's being forced up there. If you didn't cry, just because
that's the moment the back doors of the church opened, tears.
Oh, well, I got a little teary there because I didn't watch Andrea because I couldn't see her. Mm-hmm. I watched your reaction and it was priceless. Mm. It was fantastic. I was just like, the man loves her. And then I saw her when she got closer.
It was not. I just honestly am very embarrassed.
Oh, don't be embarrassed.
Like, if it was just like you watching or like Ty, it'd be cool. There were 300 people staring at me while I was... And honestly, if you didn't notice, I didn't finish them.
Oh, really?
I got to the end. I finished them, but like I couldn't. The ending was supposed to be, I promise to love you as Christ loves the church.
Mm.
Well, it came out as like, and then I just stopped. And I was like, it's your turn. I don't even think anybody could understand it. Like, I'm honestly concerned to get the video back from the videographer. I'm very concerned.
Oh, it's going to be great, man.
Like, no one's ever going to listen to it. Ever. Maybe not even Andrea. I might get it. And like,
and get rid of it, bury it
somewhere. But anyway, that was a big thing.
It was very sweet, Dylan.
Embarrassing. But I knew that was going to happen. I'm a crier. I'm very in tune with my emotions.
Nothing wrong with that.
Unlike most men.
Nothing wrong with that.
Honestly, it's embarrassing. No. But I knew I would cry. And then Andrew was like, I want to do my vows out loud. And I thought, like, a first look, like, oh, that'll be sweet. In front of everyone. Like, why would she do that to me?
She knows.
But.
I'm going to cry.
Anyway. So it was just, it was a little embarrassing. Mm. But it's okay. And then we went to Florida for 10 days.
Mm.
It was fantastic.
Mm. Welcome back. Welcome back.
And I think I told everybody, and this is a big deal. I think I told everybody about my truck. Because Seth knew about it, because Seth listens. He's a faithful listener to Coffee and Christ. Shout out to Seth.
Yeah, Seth. Number one in the heart, University of Tennessee. Number one.
Yes.
Number one.
So he knew about my truck, because I guess we talked about it last time. But as of last night, the truck has a name. The truck has a name. And I have a way of naming my vehicles. So it has to start with an S, and it has to be a female. So her name is Skylar. Skylar the Super Duty.
Nice. Is it her name? Super Duty? Is that why you went with S?
Yes.
Okay.
Because it couldn't be like, you know, Alberti the Super Duty.
Well, I didn't know.
It has to be S.
I didn't know if you were like, you know, when they name hurricanes, that they start in the front of the alphabet and they just work their way. And I was like, have you made it to S already?
I mean, could. But no. So yeah, I've really evolved in the way I name things. Like when I was 16, my truck's name was Eunice.
Oh.
She was an F-150.
Mm.
There's no correlation there. But, excuse me.
You've adapted.
I've adapted. And now I have Skylar, spelled S-C-H-L-E-R, the Super Duty.
I think it's great.
So, yeah, that's her name. And, but I mean, that's, life has been good.
What an eventful month life has been good. You've had.
So, and you're next.
Later.
So, life has been good. A little busy. But we actually went to the bank today. Because we have not merged bank accounts. Mm. And we finally did today.
Good.
So, hope she didn't want me for my money because there wasn't much in there. But anyway, that's enough about me.
Laughing turns to tears.
But sorry, we've been out lately. Just life, weddings, work, honeymoons, trips. Just been a little hectic. But we're gonna do better. We're back.
We're back until the end of this episode, and right? Then and then we have to prepare for another season.
So.
Stay tuned. Anyway. Stay tuned.
But Jackson, I believe, is there anything else you want to add? Anything? You summed your life up so quickly. Life is so exciting.
That's what it's all been about. That's what it's all been about right now.
But anyway, gospel.
Gospel.
That's our word of this episode.
G-O-S-P-E-L.
Gospel. I was about to say, what are you spelling? I can't spell anything.
That's all right. All right. Well, gospel is our... It's going to be our last word. Remember, the whole point of this series is to kind of realign our focus, because the Bible's not written in English, but in Hebrew and Greek and a little bit of Aramaic, and language is messy. Sometimes it causes words from the original text to become maybe less weighty or misinterpreted, and so kind of the whole purpose for this is just to kind of relearn these biblical words. We try to dive back into the original language, uncover their full meanings that might be lost in translation, and then not to ditch our modern translation of it, but to reframe it, something that's more in tune with the original design of the Bible in its original context. And one of those that we're going to do, the last one, is the word gospel. In Hebrew, it's the word basar. It's mentioned 24 times in the Old Testament, which I thought was surprisingly low. But I guess, you know, it kind of makes sense the more I read into it, because this word it's a verb. It's always an action, and it's portrayed to the act of announcing news. The first occurrence is in 1 Samuel chapter 4. Verse 17, this is the Philistines have just defeated the Israelites, and they have just taken the Ark of the Covenant. So, you know, it's a bad news bears for the Israelites right now. It says in verse 17, he who brought the news answered and said, Israel has fled from the Philistines, and there has also been a great defeat among the people. Your two sons also, Hophni and Phinehas, are dead, and the Ark of God has been captured. So not positive. And actually, if you continue to go through these 24 occurrences, most of them are pretty bad news. Like, I think it's honestly the next example. It's also in 1 Samuel, but it talks about taking the head of Saul, like the king, or one of the kings of the Israelites. So it's just it's not a great word in Hebrew. But the whole point of it is it's this act of announcing news, you know, and what's news, or breaking news for that matter. For like right here, verse 17, that was breaking news. Breaking news, we just lost this war, this battle. And so, you know, news in general is something that has happened out in the world, which now a whole new set of possibilities opens up. I try to think of, I guess, I don't know if we've talked recently since like the passing of Charlie Kirk, but like that's breaking news. When Charlie Kirk got killed, that was breaking news. There was a new set of standards or new set of possibilities opened up, where, you know, everything is going to be different now that we have experienced this. That's what breaking news is. Something has happened as a result of which the world is now a different place. And so, you know, some things are really, you know, all the wars over in, you know, not to get, you know, super political or anything, but all the wars over in the Middle East and all that, like, that's all breaking news. Like, now we view the world differently after we see another attack and, you know, our hearts hurt, or even see stuff here, like in America, when we see stuff like that, that's breaking news. The world is now different. It's a different place because of this information. And that's the whole point of news. You know, there's kind of like this, the swing verse that I have that jumps us to the New Testament. It comes in Isaiah. Isaiah 52, verse 7. This verse is going to sound familiar because Paul quotes it again in Romans. But he says in verse 7, "How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news." Now, what's that good news? All right, and that's what Isaiah is tackling throughout this whole, really the back half of 50, 51, 52, all those, and then you get into the suffering servant. So what is that good news? Or what is the news? Because every time that we've seen this word used in the Old Testament, it's been about announcing news, and it's been bad news, and it's also been about some political thing. It's been about someone dying because of a war. It's this kingdom language. It's this this reigning nation kind of language. And so then we get to the New Testament, where all the marbles are at. You know, in Greek, it's called euangelion. It's a compound word. Gelion means message and good, means good. It appears about 76 times in the New Testament. Which is a pretty good amount, really, when you look at kind of the other word studies that we've had in this, in this section in general in the Greek. The first time it's mentioned is in Matthew chapter 4, verse 23. It says, one more page. It says, "And he went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction among the people." Excuse me. So this word is really, you know, it was really great that, maybe not for y'all, but it was great that I had some time to really think about this word. We had some weeks off and it really worked out because it's helped reshape my view of what this word gospel is. You know, a translation that I've heard of it is good news. I think that's kind of a little more, that's what I prefer, at least. Gospel just seems like it's not a word I would use in everyday language, but good news is. So, you know, so I'm just going to say good news. You know, the good news, you know, is often reduced to its benefits. You know, what do I mean by that? You know, most of the time when you hear the gospel, when you hear the good news, it's Jesus saved. Jesus died on the cross so you can be saved. And that's like a pretty basic explanation, you know? Nothing wrong with it. It's not like you're saying anything wrong. But what I want to do, at least for this, and it might take another episode just to, so me and Dylan can bounce off each other or kind of deal. But when we make the story about the benefits, you know, when we focus on benefits like redemption, like salvation, we make the story about us. However, when we keep the focus on the King, on Jesus, Jesus remains central. And there's lots of verses that might come to mind to you. You know, two really big ones, or actually one really big one, is in 1 Corinthians. We'll get to that. It's 1 Corinthians 15. It's a very over-dominant version of the gospel, the good news, that everyone tends to lean towards, because the compound word, like, literally means good story. You know, and most of the time, like I said, we focus on the benefits. We focus on the salvation code. So I want to look at what the biblical authors in the New Testament used to describe what this word meant to them. When somebody said gospel, when someone said euangelion, they were like, this is what the story is. And I don't even, Dylan, you jump in whenever, because my notes are kind of all over the place about where I want to start. Because if you look at Mark chapter 1, when Mark opens up, Mark's a great book to read. It's like what happens is Jesus is like a superhero. Like the way it tells it, it conceals his identity until the very end. And the first person who knows who he is a Roman soldier of all people. It's great. It's a great way to tell. It's a very captivating way to tell the story. But in verse 14 of chapter 1, Mark says that now after John was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee proclaiming the gospel of God, saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." You know, so Jesus' first announcement on the scene, and most of the time in the gospel accounts, is the good news. The good news that God's kingdom has come. Jesus' message first is about this kingdom. You know, the good news, the whole storyline can all be summarized in this good news that Jesus has talking about. How it's God becoming king, and then in order to explain himself. Because if you jump back to verse 1 in chapter 1, it says, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. You know, the message that Jesus announced about the kingdom of God has been put together in a book. And now that book can be called the good news about Jesus. You know, it's everywhere. The kingdom is coming through Jesus is all I'm saying. And what happens first when you read these accounts of the gospel and everybody else's versions, it's about that kingdom story first. And that's the nail I want to keep pounding on, because too often, me included, not excluding me at all, because I'm so thankful I had time to think about this, because I've thought about this wrong for so long, is to focus on the benefits. And by doing so, I made it about me. You know, when Peter has the opportunity to tell the Gentiles in Acts chapter 10, this is how he puts the good news. Chapter 10, verse 34, he says, "So Peter opened his mouth and said, 'Truly I understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. As for the word he sent to the Israel to the Israelites, preaching good news of peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. You yourselves know what happened throughout all of Judea, beginning from Galilee after the baptism of John that John proclaimed, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all that he did, both in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree, but God raised him on the third day and made him to appear, not to all the people, but to us, who have been chosen by God as witnesses, who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to all to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one anointed by God to be judge of all living and dead. To him, all prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name." Notice how Paul does not get to the benefits to the very end. For Paul to preach the gospel to these Gentiles, that's the little subheading I have above what I just read. For Peter to preach the gospel is to tell the story of Jesus. To tell his kingdom story, and after he has told the story of Jesus, he then tells the audience of the redemptive benefits that come with it. And now there's a couple other, but Dylan, you chime in anytime. I have two more scripture, but you just pop in whenever.
I don't want to like cut you off.
Oh,
you
know, no,
you're on a roll.
No, I mean I have other examples of what Paul uses to describe this kingdom story, but
I want to talk about Paul too.
Go for it.
And obviously, Jackson and I have two different ways of studying the Bible. I envy the way he can do it, but when I read the Bible, I want to know. I'm big on, I guess, life application. I guess that's my strength. Why am I reading this? Why does it apply to me? So my mind goes to Paul speaking to the Romans in Rome chapter 6. And he's writing this, or Romans chapter 6. And he's writing this while he's in Corinth. And first of all, before we, I guess before I get into the scripture, I want you to imagine your life. And whether you're a Christian, you know, pre-Christian, and if you don't know Jesus, I want you to think about what you're doing right now. Because you read so much, and we're going to get to this. I'm going to kind of spoil it before we get to the ending. But verse 23 of Romans chapter 6 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." So kind of like what Jackson was talking about a few minutes ago when... Why did my mind just go completely blank? You literally said something, and I was like, I was going to say that too. I don't know what he said. It's gone. But moving on. But you have the free gift of God. And we talk about and we think about gifts, and we think about when we receive gifts. A lot of people think of like birthdays and Christmas. But, I have what I was going to say now. Sorry, my mind went totally blank. But I do this with no notes, by the way. I just, every time, just letting you know, it's fantastic. Very unprepared. But you think about something or someone, it could even be somebody that comes into your life and you know, let's talk about a person. Somebody comes into your life, whether it's your significant other, whether it's a friend, whatever, but you meet a person, you get to know, I'm not saying like right when you meet them, you realize everything's about to change. But you get to know them, you become close, and the more you learn about this person, the more opportunities, the more time that you spend with them, you realize that because of that person or because of what they are in your life or what they represent, everything's going to change because now you've been connected with this person. And that doesn't happen often. I mean, I would say maybe you can count a handful of people in your life that you meet them and you're like, you know what? From now on, everything's going to be different. I know I'm going to be with this person. They're going to be walk with me through life forever. Or you meet or you go through something in your life, you know, a death of a loved one. I'll never forget when my grandma passed away, got a phone call at 3:00 in the morning. And I knew as I was getting in the shower, getting ready to go to the hospital, it was during COVID. I knew from that moment on, everything would change. And we all have moments like that. We all have people like that, that you realize in your life, everything's going to be different. And maybe it's a gift. Maybe what we just talked about in verse 23, maybe it's a gift that you get. And you're like, and gifts don't have to come, you know. I view gifts differently. I'm not saying a gift has to be wrapped up in a package with a bow on it with to Dylan from Santa. I'm not saying that's what a gift is. Now, that is a form of a gift. But if you look at your life as every breath you take, a gift. When you walk into your job or your place of work, a gift. You get in your truck, a gift. You walk into your house, a gift. You kiss your spouse. Rhyming.
Boom.
A gift. I mean, but something, you receive something, a situation happens in your life, and you're like, okay, from this point on, everything's different. So there are some pretty great gifts. I'm going to bring in Jackson into this. If I said to you right now, and I had the power.
Do it.
Not really.
Do it.
Okay. But if I had the power to look at you and say, Jackson, tell me, if I can give you one gift that will change your life forever, not spiritual, physical.
Physical.
I can give you one gift that will change your life forever. I have the power to do anything. Money's no object. What is it?
Oh, man, that's such a good question. Just off the top of my head, it'd be my house.
Okay, so I'm going to build your house for you. This is all figuratively speaking. I'm going to build your house for you. Okay, you're never going to have to worry about it. No mortgage payment, no nothing. Build your house. That's life-changing because yeah. In that moment, every time you walk into that house, even if you don't live there forever, then you walk in and realize, I didn't pay for this. This was a gift. And then if you sell it and build something else, the money had to come from somewhere. The money is still a form of that gift. You guys get what I'm saying. But what are the limitations of the gift? Can the gift heal you?
I was like, no, that's pretty...
The gift can't do anything but put a physical roof over your head.
Right.
But it's not an ultimate hedge of protection. It's a house.
Yeah.
But if an EF4 tornado comes through, gone. The house is gone.
Right.
And if you get sick, the house is not going to raise you from the dead. I don't care how much value we put on physical things and physical people. And that's a question you have to ask yourself. But like, I love my truck. My truck can't do anything but get me point A to point B. I love my house, but there's only so many things the house can give me. I love my wife, but at the end of the day, if I'm sick, she can't cure me back to health. She can't raise me from the dead.
Right.
So the gospel to me is the same gift that Paul is talking about. And obviously, most all of us know the story of Paul. Paul received the gift of the gospel, the good news, right? But to Christians, when we hear the good news, that's the ultimate gift. You know, my house provides physical protection. My wife provides companionship. My truck provides comfort and an ease of getting from point A to point B. My job provides me with physical money to buy things, to buy food, to provide for my family, whatever. But they all have limitations. And if you don't know Christ, everything in your life has a limit. Everything.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's literally, at one point or another, you're going to sit around, look at your life, and there will be nothing there. And that's harsh.
Scary.
But if you put all of your faith, all of your, you know, every morsel of your being into people and places and physical things, then all of them have limitations. So you think about, well, why should I put so much faith in the gospel of Jesus Christ? And to me, I don't, and this I have a point to this. It's not going to make sense. But to me, don't tell me how you can bring me life. Show me that you can bring me back from the dead. To me, and let me explain. That's what the gospel means to me. Don't tell me about this life that I can have. Because before I can have the life, you have to bring me back from the dead. And what I mean by that is, I don't care if you've been raised in the church. I don't care if you were baptized when you were in the fourth or fifth grade and you've never fallen away. But at some point in your life, you have been spiritually dead. And if you don't know Jesus, if you have no relationship with him whatsoever, and Spotify or Amazon Music or Apple Podcasts randomly brought you this episode, then listen. If you don't know Jesus, you're dead. You literally have no purpose, and you're banking on all these things that have limitations that bring you nothing. But the gospel is a story about bringing you back to life. And when we're spiritually dead, when we've fallen away from Christ or we don't know Christ, this gift that Paul talks about quite literally breathes new life into our physical body. It gives us purpose. It gives us a reason to wake up. It gives us a reason to go to sleep. It literally gives you a reason to live. And I go back up to the top. There's a reason, because I wanted to bring the gift into this. But if you go back to the top and start reading in verse 1, it says, "What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound?" And I think it's funny that the ESV says, "By no means," with an exclamation mark. But it's really like, what are you going to say? Are you going to continue to live in sin when this gift's available? that's absolutely absurd. That's crazy that you would even think that. How can we, who died to sin, still live in it? Do you know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. And I'm not talking about when you were a newborn baby. I'm talking about you can be 40, 50, 60, 70, 80 years old and find Jesus, hear the gospel, and you receive the gift. You're born again. And quite literally, the gospel raises you from the dead. You can find it when you're 10, or you can find it when you're, you know, on your deathbed. But in order to have the life that Paul talks about, being dead to sin, this gift quite literally raises you from the dead. Let's skip down to verse 6. We know that our old self was crucified, signaling death. Our old self is gone with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we die with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. So, obviously, if you understand the gospel, you put him on in baptism, you understand that no longer is your stock being placed here. Now we're living for heaven. Now we're living with being in the presence of our Father for eternity. But Paul talks about righteousness and this life that you can live. And he says, listen, like we said in verse 23, if you don't do this, the wages of your sin, the punishment of your sin is death. But the free gift of God is eternal life. And the life starts now. There's so many people that read stuff like this and they say, well, eternal life, I have plenty of time to find Christ, to study the Bible, and I'll do it when I'm older. Eternal life starts now. Eternal life starts when the gospel changes you enough to put to death who you were, and now you're walking in eternal life right now. You're helping expand the kingdom. You're helping build the kingdom. You're helping to fill as many seats in heaven as possible. You're living the life because of the gospel. So when you think about the good news, you think about, you know, and you see all the cliche tattoos and all this stuff. But let's really talk about what the good news is. And it is a gift that we can't even fathom, that we can't even physically hold. It's better than me building Jackson's house. It's better than me, you know, never getting sick. It's better than anything we can ever imagine, because it has the power to raise us from the dead. It has the power to breathe new life into us, give us purpose, give us hope, give us a love for others that is unimaginable. Because at that point, your life no longer belongs to you. You know, we think about all the things that we stress about. And, you know, money's a big one. Our jobs are huge. The houses we live in, we're constantly searching for, you know, more and more and more. And you think about, you know, people that have tons of money and you're like, well, where does it stop? Well, it never stops, because you always want and you always want and you always want. And wouldn't you love to be free from that way of thinking? Because that's what the gospel does. It changes your life to where you're no longer concerned with that, because now you have a relationship with the Father, someone who cares about you, someone that is there. And that's what it is. It's the good news. And it's quite literally the best news in the entire world, because it has supernatural powers that, which was cringy for me to say, but it's supernatural enough that it can raise you from the dead. The question is, are we willing to to hear the word gospel and realize the weight that it actually carries. Because I think it's been watered down over the years, as a lot of things have been. But it has life-changing powers to give you a relationship with the Father. And that relationship becomes yours to baby, to grow. And like every relationship, there's highs and there's lows. But it doesn't matter, because there's nothing you can do to save yourself. Nothing. The gospel does everything. And that's how I relate to it. I guess that's what it means to me. Because it just like those moments in your life, I'm landing this plane, I'm wrapping it up. But just like those moments in your life when you meet someone or something happens and you realize everything's going to change. When you have that encounter with Christ, when you understand what the gospel is, the good news, everything changes forever. So that's it. That's what I got.
No, I think that was a great way to wrap up gospel, to wrap up this whole series. But, you know, breaking news. You now know the gospel. And much like the biblical authors, when Matthew and Mark and Luke and John are writing the gospels, they have a agenda in mind. And it is to put this story in front of you and make you decide. You can either say, well, that's just mumbo jumbo. He really didn't do that kind of stuff. No way he raised from the dead. I'm not going to believe it. Or it can change you. I think that's what Dylan was saying. So breaking news, you now know the gospel. John puts it, he tells the story so that you may know that Jesus is the Son of God. We hope you had a great week. Hope you, I don't know where you're doing right now. You're driving, you're sitting there making dinner. I don't know. You're sitting in a classroom listening to us. Fantastic. Honored right now that you would be doing that. But we hope you've had a great week. Enjoyed this series. We might revisit this series at one point whenever we come up with a new list of words, because there's tons of them. There's tons of words we can add to this list. But I think this is good for now. So stay tuned for what's next for Coffee and Christ. We love you. Jesus loves you.
Have a great week. Bye-bye.